Cease to be idle. Bishop Joseph L. Worthlin. Joseph L. Worthlin. Conference Report. October 1961. Pages 14-16. President McKay. My beloved brethren and sisters, I am more than grateful for the privilege of expressing to you my heartfelt appreciation. As I meet the members of the church in the various stakes, I am meeting with my brethren and sisters, for we are brethren and sisters. I think of our older brother Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is a wonderful thing to know that we are all brethren and sisters and, above all, that we are the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, and also that Jesus Christ is our older brother. I want to bear testimony to you that I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet. There is no question about that in my mind. I am so grateful that in my own soul I can bear that testimony without any hesitation whatsoever. It was necessary for the world to have a prophet that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in its fullness might be available to the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Joseph Smith was a prophet, and those who have followed him are also prophets, every one of them. President McKay is a prophet, a seer, and a revelator. Brethren and sisters, that is my testimony to you this morning. I think of the marvelous revelation given by the Lord to the prophet Joseph in the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. I suggest that you read it in your homes with your sons and daughters. It is called the Olive Leaf, and it states that the light of truth is the light of Christ. If the whole world could accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, there is no question but that many of the problems which now exist could be solved, and out of it we would have peace and goodwill. In the final analysis, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has the responsibility of teaching to the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At some future time, the missionaries and representatives of the Church of Jesus Christ are going to have the opportunity to preach the gospel to the Russian people. Just how it shall happen or what will bring it about, I cannot tell you, but in the main, the Russian people are a good people. When the Lord makes it possible for missionaries to go into that area and preach the gospel, literally millions of them will accept it, and that same feeling of the light of truth, the light of Christ, will come to them. It does not only mean to the people in Russia, but it also means to the people in China, where there are literally millions and millions of the Lord's sons and daughters who do not know that Jesus Christ existed. But in the way of the Lord, the missionaries somehow are going to preach the gospel to the people in China. What I say about China is equally true with reference to India. I recall an experience which I had this past summer with an individual from India who had spent some time at Brigham Young University. He came to our offices, and I had the privilege of meeting him. He indicated to me that he had read the Book of Mormon. I asked him a question: "Do you believe the Book of Mormon is true, that it is the real history of America?" He said, "Yes, I accept it." I said, "Then, if you accept the Book of Mormon, you, no doubt, have given some consideration to Christ and Joseph Smith." He said, "I have done that. Joseph Smith is a prophet." I made clear to him that we had another prophet with the same authority, with the same rights to divine guidance as existed in the days of Joseph Smith, namely, President McKay. He said, "I hope the time will come when you will send your missionaries into India. I am satisfied that our people are now waiting for something different, something else, something they do not have." President McKay, "I am sure that someday the missionaries will go into India and preach the gospel to the millions and millions of individuals who do not know very much about Christ and never will know until we have the opportunity to teach them the gospel. The Lord said in the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants to search for the truth through study and prayer. I am sure that every convert of the church accepts the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through study and prayer. Prayer is most important to converts. In the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord said to us, 'Cease to be idle, cease to be unclean, cease to find fault one with another, cease to sleep longer than is needful, retire to thy bed early, that ye may not be weary, arise early, that your bodies and your minds may be invigorated, and above all things, clothe yourselves with the bond of charity, as with a mantle, which is the bond of perfectness and peace.' I have thought of this wonderful statement many times in that marvelous revelation, 'Cease to be idle.' The membership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, brethren and sisters, do not have time to be idle. It is wonderful that in this great organization every man and every woman and every child, regardless of age, has something to do. That is the great fundamental difference between the Church of Jesus Christ and the churches of the world. Cease to be idle. We must set the proper example to the people of America. We cannot afford to have idle people. Every American ought to have something to do. This will protect him against the power of the evil one, Satan." I think of certain organizations which give individuals the right to work only for a short time. Some of them advocate only 4 or 5 days a week. That is contrary to the mind and will of our Heavenly Father. The Lord set us a proper example when He said, 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work. And what is the seventh day to be? The seventh day is the day when we worship the Lord, when we meet our assignments in connection with the church and, above all, have the opportunity of attending sacrament meeting, the most important meeting of the whole week. It is my prayer that the attendance at our sacrament meeting will be 100%. I hope that in America we will not have the experience that I had in Germany in 1914 while preaching the gospel to the German people. I passed a great cathedral each weekend. One morning I went inside. It was beautiful, and I also noticed that there were 4 people in the attitude of prayer. The next week something happened to Germany. What was it? Germany was at war with France, England, and Russia. Again I went back and found the cathedral was filled to capacity with as many people outside as there were inside. They had all gone there for one purpose only, to pray to the Lord that their husbands and their sons and those who were on the front fighting for Germany might be protected. I hope that in America we are not going to be forced to pray because of difficulties and possibilities of war, but we are going to be a prayerful people and recognize that God lives and that Jesus Christ is His Son. In this marvelous revelation I have just read to you, the Lord not only said, cease to be idle, but He also said, cease to be unclean. I hope and pray with all my heart that America will be a clean nation. The Lord also said, cease to find fault one with another. In every latter day saint home care should be taken when a father criticizes a son or a son is critical of a father or when a mother is critical of her daughter or a daughter is critical of her mother. It brings into the home the power of the evil one, and the Spirit of the Lord will not dwell there. Fault finding should be eliminated in the family relationship. Again it states, cease to sleep longer than is needful, retire to thy bed early, that ye may not be weary. Much could be said about this. Youth must have its recreation, we will all admit, but the right kind of recreation is going to be that which is under the direction of the priesthood. We have these wonderful buildings, these recreation halls, where the right kind of recreation is available, and where these events will start at such a time that youth may return home by at least 12 o'clock. After 12 o'clock is when the power of the evil one overtakes youth and others. We should see to it that they retire to their beds early, that when they get up in the morning they are not weary. That means much to youth, particularly those who are attending school, for out of the strength they have mentally and physically, they are able to meet the assignments that may be given to them by their instructors. The promise is given, arise early, that your bodies and your minds may be invigorated. Prayer is also mentioned when the head of the family, who does or does not hold the Melchizedek priesthood, can call his wife, his sons and his daughters in the morning hours to ask the Lord for divine guidance in whatever their assignments might be. Then as the night hours come on, they can talk to that same Lord and extend gratitude and thanks for the many blessings they enjoy. Pray always, that ye might not faint, until I come. Behold, and lo, I will come quickly, and receive you unto myself. Amen. Let us read the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. It is a marvelous revelation. We need it, brethren and sisters. We have problems, and we will continue to have them, and the Lord has always given us information and divine guidance to solve them through these instructions. I pray the Lord to bless you all in your endeavors to guide and direct you, that we may enjoy the divine guidance of our Heavenly Father, which I pray will be the blessing of each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.